Well, in our lesson this week, once again, we did have 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're not going to go there, but what the Holy Spirit laid on my heart was how Paul, when he said he was commending one of the brethren, and he was saying, you know, that I want you to know he's a partaker in this gospel with me. And you remember Paul did the same thing when he did, even with Timothy, he did it. God did it with his son when he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And, you know, we have to remember that God is saying, "This is my son. This who is whom I'm well pleased." What had just happened at that time? Christ went down in the water. He was saying, "I'm going to go down in death for you, and I will come up the head of a new creation." And he was willing to give his life that many more sons could come to glory. And we want to remember that as we go into the lesson, that it's that resurrection, it's that life that we're talking about. Paul commended Timothy because he said, "I don't know anybody but Timothy that cares for your state." You see, not just preach provisional, preach practicality, that they have to put it in practical use, and he's concerned about their state. Their standing is secure, but he wants them to grow up, that when they do grow up, they're able to stand, having done all to stand in the provisional side of the gospel. And God is able to do that. And I read over here, it was, "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work." Paul didn't just commend Timothy. Paul commended Titus. He commended Phoebe. He said, "I commend you, Phoebe." She was, it says, a servant, but she was a pastor. It was a servant of love. She was giving out the word of God. She loved the truth. And he said, "Support her in whatever need she has." He said that about every one of them that he commended. But I want us to remember when Jesus said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." We want to be a sweet smelling savor unto God. The only way we can ever do that is not just preach Christ, but we must live the life of Christ. It'll be a sweet smelling savor unto those who are alive, those who know truth. A lot of people don't want to hear this. It's not a sweet smell to them. That's why they don't want to hear the whole counsel of God. And that's also why people don't want to preach the whole counsel, because they fear what people will do. "Well, they won't like me as their preacher, and they won't like me as their teacher." God said, it's not about who likes you. It's about, are you pleasing the Father? You don't hear people want to preach about gluttony. I hardly ever hear that. You never hear about dressing in moderation. You just don't hear it. You don't hear that much about head covering. You may if you go to the Bible class, but what if you don't go to a Bible class? What has happened in the churches? They don't want to preach the whole counsel of God. They don't want to talk about in Romans about homosexuality. They don't want to preach it. But the thing is, we only preach the word as we're led by the Spirit. Not because, you know, one's come in, they're an alcoholic, or they've been in prison before. I can't stand that kind of attitude. It's like, we are what we are by the grace of God. What does that really mean to you? Grace is love. When you don't deserve it, love those who don't deserve anything. That is continuing in the very love of Christ. But all these commendations, you can even read it in the churches. There was the Church of Philadelphia, Church of Smyrna. No, nothing bad about them. It was all commendation. Everything was in Christ, not because of people. It's Christ had worked this. They believed it in their heart. So we're going to go over today to Acts chapter 20. And Paul's on his, I believe, third missionary journey. But when he goes from Philippi to Miletus, he said they're going, in verse 5, these going before tarried for us at Troas. And he sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, came to them in Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week. Now, what day would you say that is? Because this says, on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Okay, we're here too. A lot of people say you should do it on a Saturday. Let them do it. Let them do it. You know, it's better that we don't cause contention. But if the Lord opens a door and lets you show them why we meet on Sunday, what do you say? What was the day he arose? The first day of resurrection. That is why we join together, because we are justified now. We're coming in. They say, well, Saturday's a day of rest. Sunday's a day of rest. No, he is our Sabbath. He is my rest. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, starting with Sunday. We're gathered together in worship and thanksgiving for what he's already done for us. Yes, that is rest, but we have rest every moment of the day. Paul comes over here and he's preaching to them, and he preached unto them in verse 7, ready to depart on the morrow. He was going to have to leave the next day. So what did he do? He continued his speech until midnight. How many of you would stay till midnight just to hear the word of God? Only you can answer that. He continued preaching. And there was this one, there were many lights in the upper chamber. They were gathered together to hear the word of God. And there in a window, a certain young man named Eutychus. That means fortunate, well of. And I want you to think about that name. He was fortunate. People in the church of Ephesus, we have to remember, we are a full purpose church. We have been given so much. We're fortunate. Because of another man's wealth, we have been made rich. And he said, this man, what did he do? He fell into a deep sleep. Paul was long preaching, but he was led of the Spirit. I remember in Burlingame at the country church, they would have church sometimes until midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. But no one was tired. Why? Because the Spirit of God was moving, because the Word of God was being preached. He fell down from the third loft. And I want you to think of this, because as I read this, I thought of the sleeping church, the day we're living in. Do people walk in their sleep? They do. We can be a sleepy Christian and walk around everywhere. I used to give my daughters, pretend, say, you want some Sunday? And she was sound asleep, and she'd go and open up her mouth. She was even eating in her sleep. She was eating. They were walking. They were talking in their sleep. Do you see there? We can be a sleepy Christian. And he said, it is high time you wake up out of this slumber, this sleep that's going on. Because those that are drunk in the night. Those that sleep, they sleep in the night. So as I begin to read this, I thought of, wow, he's gone through so much. But he said his life is in him. You see, his life is in him. He's still alive. He's alive. And you'd think after all this happening right there where they were meeting, that it would be over for the night. No. Paul had a message to preach, and he was going to make sure that message got out. And it said that he went on and kept preaching. Kept preaching, I think, until the break of the day. Well, aren't we looking for that glorious dawning morning? This word should be going forth to wake up saints. To wake up those that are sleeping and they're not seeing their need. They're not taking in the word of God. So now we're going to go down, because Paul is going to, in verse 17, he's still on his journey. He has things to do. From Miletus, in verse 17, he sent to Ephesus. Okay? So he didn't go to Ephesus. He might have wanted to stay a little too long. You know, those you love, you just hate to have, well, I can only stay for one day. You know, you hate those kind of visits. But he didn't even go there. He sent from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church. In the church of Ephesus, there were many saints. But you got to remember, we are the church. We're the church. But he called the elders, which were the pastors. And he called them and wanted them to come to Miletus. Well, verse 18, and when they were come to him, they came to him. 30 miles, they had to walk it. How many of you are going to walk 30 miles? I have trouble sometimes on Wednesday just driving. And it's not to condemn me. I'm not condemning myself. I know that he's working. Matter of fact, I'm positive. But anyway, we go on. It says, when they were come to him, he said to them. Now, this is going to sound like, you know, we're not ever supposed to point to ourselves. That's what people say. You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, after what manner I have been with you in all seasons. I've been with you. You know my manner of life. You know how I lived. Not just the words I preach. You know the life that I live. You have seen. And he goes, serving the Lord with all humility of mine, with many tears, many temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. They wanted to tear down that message. How I kept back nothing. He said, I didn't care what I had to go through. I was committed to preach this gospel. It was the life of Jesus. Because Paul is saying, I follow Christ. Christ was committed and he did it to the very end. He said, it is finished. We have a race to run. Until it is finished, are we going to continue on? We're going to have God's word and his grace. He said, I kept nothing back that was profitable for you, even if he had to suffer. It didn't matter. He said, I'm going to keep going. I showed you this and I taught you publicly. I went publicly from house to house. Back then, it was. They preached in houses. Some people think that's where you're supposed to do it today. No, he said, I went from house to house, and I preached the gospel. There are many who heard the word of God. There are many who took in this truth. They did it in houses. But see, they still were the church. They were the church. And we testify, and I testified to the Jews, and I did it also to the Greeks. Repentance. Nobody wants to hear that word today. Well, now we don't have to repent anymore. Really? The seven churches said, repent. Repent. Know what you've fallen from. What lofty, high place God has given you. You have fallen from that place. What have you turned to other than him? Repent. Just turn to God and tell him, I want to be with my first love the way it was in the very beginning. He said, I preached to the Jews, to the Greeks, repentance toward God. We're in Acts 20 and verse 21. And he also said, repentance toward God and faith. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith toward him. I believe, Jesus, what you did. I believe you, and oh, I want to know more of this truth so it can purify me, so it can take me through. Testifying to them, and he said, and now, after all this, he's been with them in this time, and you're going to see it gets pretty sad in the story. But he goes, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem. He didn't stop in Ephesus again. But he said, I'm going in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. How many of you would say, I know the spirit is leading me to do such and such. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't even know what will befall me when I get there. But I believe there are things he knew and there was things he did not know. He said, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. But I'm going. I'm going bound in the spirit. I'm going to take this journey. Why? And you'll see. Save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me. I did a message a long time ago. Are you drinking of the cup? You know, we come up, we say, oh, no, he drank that cup. No, we partake of that cup with Christ. I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to understand what the power of his resurrection, what all that meant. Well, if you don't understand being weak, how will you become strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? He said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. The Holy Ghost witness in every city, he says, bonds and afflictions abide me. Well, I think we were also told in John 16, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes, he's not going to leave you. Remember, Jesus said that, I won't leave you nor forsake you. And then in John 14, he said, it's necessary. I have to go to my Father, but I'm going to send the Comforter. And he's going to be, and they call it a paraclete, called alongside to help. He's there, the power of the Holy Ghost. We have need of the Spirit of God because that's the power from on high. That's the power of the Father. He said, I go bound, but he said, I didn't know what was there, but I've got the Holy Ghost with me. And he's telling me there are going to be trials when you get there. Don't know what it's going to be. But he lets you know. Sometimes he doesn't. Doesn't tell you what's going to happen. But he said, be ready. Be ready. Be praying. But he said, no matter what bonds and afflictions are there, none of these things move me. Can you say that? Doesn't matter what it is. I said I'm going. I want to win Christ as my bridegroom. None of these things are going to move me. I'll tell you what, if I relied on Penny, it would move me. But when I become weak, I become strong in the Lord, and he takes me on another step, maybe another mile. But I'm on a race course. The whole church is not the bride. It's a rib portion. It's just a small portion. And those are the ones, that rib portion, it's of his bone. Those, that rib portion is close to his heart. They talk with him. They walk with him. They understand what these sufferings are. They know that trials and tribulation, it's why do we have to have them, Lord? Because it's working patience in your life. I just shared with my bus driver. She said, oh, I just need to just turn it over to the Lord and realize that he's doing all this. I go, yeah, but get into the goody of it. Why is he doing it? Because tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. Now you have hope. Hope maketh not ashamed. And it's the love of God is going to be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. Because he's there. He's empowering you, giving you another step. God never promised us that it was going to be an easy road. In fact, he said in Matthew, there was going to be, I'm going to go over there real quick, Matthew 7. That way I could just say it from the word. Matthew 7. Yeah, I knew it. I should have wrote it down. Anyway, wide is the gate, narrow is the way. And he said, you know, there's only going to be few that find it. Few in that narrow way. Few be that find it. You know what they're finding? Life. Life eternal. And it's in Matthew. But when you go in there and you read it, break it down. He said, narrow is the way. The way is the way of Christ. There's only one way. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So everything you are is because of the I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. He said,
It's Matthew 7, verse 14.
Okay, we're going to go there. Matthew 7 and verse 14. See how the body works together? All right, the first word in verse 13 is what? Enter. It didn't say stand there and look at it. It said get in there. Enter in the straight gate. For wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leadeth to what? Destruction. That's the way everybody's going. The majority of the world is going the easy way, just like in Acts 27 ship, or Acts 27, I can't remember. But in that, the ship, the Acts 27 ship, when it's the storm comes, they were told not to go that way. They were warned. They didn't listen. They wanted to go the way of the palms, the easy way, the good way, what? That many be that go in there. The ones that are going to have palm leaves instead of crowns, they'll wave the palms. But they're not going to have a crown. He said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be there that go in thereat. There's many that are going to go that way. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, the true way, the I am the way that leadeth to life. Few be there that find it. But just because they have it, if you seek, you're gonna find. Ask, knock on the door, he'll open it unto you. Whatever you wanna know, he'll show it unto you. Now we're going back to Acts 20. And he goes, now, none of these things that are going to happen to him is going to move him. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. He's counting a lot of things. He's taking account of this, like, well, this could happen, that could happen. But he stops and he goes, neither count I my life dear to myself, but here's the reason why. Now he's going to walk in this. This is what he yearns for. He longs for this. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Paul sees his life as he's a racer too. He has a course. He must run that course. I didn't run his course. We've all been given a race course. And why are we there? Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you from running this race. Did Paul finish that race? Yes, in Timothy. I have finished my course. He knew it. I've kept the faith. And he knew that there was a crown laid up for him. But he said, but not to me only, but to all them who love your appearing. He said, I count my life not dear. He said, that I can finish my course, and I want to do it with joy. Not with murmuring and complaining. If I'm going to have joy, it's the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm going to come across that finish line because I know that he's the one that brought me. He's the one that has sustained me by his grace. That the ministry which I have received, it was of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So no matter what's on your race course, get your eyes and your mind on these things. I'm here to bring testimony of the gospel of the grace of God. We want to be magnifying the grace of God. And now, remember he said, I don't know? Now he says, and now behold, I know. that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, you're not going to see my face no more. How do you think that made them feel? Paul's been with them all this time. And he said, you're not going to see my face anymore. And he said, and I know that. Because why? He was in communion. He's in oneness. He knew, just like Abraham knew when he took his son to take him up. And he was going to take him up on that mount. He said, you stay here with the stuff. The lad and I are going up, but we'll be back. How are we going to come back if he's going to take him and slay him? He knew he had to resurrect because he was the son, the seed that was going to bring more. He knew that by promise. You're not going to see my face no more. Wherefore, take you to record this day. I am pure from the blood of all men. When the Jews and them started mocking him, what did he do? He shook the dust off his feet and he moved on. He said, now I'm going to the Gentiles. He said, it's time. He said, God gives us so, you know, he's so merciful. He wants us to get the truth. Wherefore I take you record this day, I'm pure from the blood of all men. Why? Because he said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I shared in the Bible study this week. I've had so many. Now, don't get up and say this at a funeral, and don't preach a sermon at a funeral, or oh gosh, can you not preach about tithing? We don't want to hear that. Don't you think God knows how to get people to tithe? He sure does, and there's only one way to do it. Preach the word. Not tell somebody. How do you think we all came to paying tithe? God had to show you that every day you go to work, he gave you the strength to do it. And then he gave you a paycheck at the end of the week. You didn't do it. He did it. Responsibility according to the ability that God giveth. Everything we've ever done. And he gave you 90%. He's only asking for 10%. But that's just for the ministry. It's not to take your money. God doesn't say, I need your money, you better give it to me. Or plant the seed of faith. You guys plant the seed, you'll be able to buy a boat next week. Majority of churches are preaching this across the pulpit. If you want to be blessed, give your money. I've already been blessed. That's why I want to give the money. I've already been blessed. That's why I want to share with others. I want to give whatever substance I have. And it may not be millions that I have, but what he's given me. They gave out of their poverty. Macedonian saints were so rich. There were those so rich. I think I'm getting it backwards. I'm not for sure. But anyway, there are those who were rich. They didn't do anything. It was those that out of their poverty they gave. You have to remember, it was Jesus out of dying for you. He became poor for you. He didn't die for himself. He didn't do any sin. He was made sin for us because we were the sinners. And now I know that among you I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. You're not going to see my face no more. Wherefore, I want you to take record this day. I'm pure of the blood of all men because I have preached the gospel. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Whatever the Lord told me to share, even if it was uncomfortable for me to have to say it, I knew that he said to say it. Take heed. Therefore, unto yourselves. Remember, I'm not going to be here. It's a time now. You're going to have to stand on your own two feet. You're going to have to take your stand and walk with God. I was thinking that, if I didn't see my pastor's face no more, where would we be? I have seen churches that are in such dependence that when the pastor's gone, they flee. They go everywhere. Some of them don't go anywhere anymore. The pastor's up here to give you truth, to lead you and guide you, and to give you guidance, show you what you need to know, And I guarantee you, our pastor has done that. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer. Who's he talking to? You know, a lot of people go, well, he's talking to the elders. Excuse me, I don't care what age you are in Christ, you're all responsible for whatever you've been given. But yes, he is telling the ones who are going to go on and continue preaching this gospel. The Holy Ghost made you overseers. You need to feed, not what your thoughts are, not what you think, not how you think it's terrible or what they did, none of that. Feed the church of God, the word of God, which he purchased with his own blood. He's telling them, you guys, preach the word to them. Do you know how much God loves these people? He loves them so much that he sent his only son and let him die in their place. They were the sinner. But he took it all upon him. He purchased you. You are not your own anymore. I bought you with a price. Know ye not, you are the temple of the living God? Who's living in here anyway? I know, Paul said, after my departure, there's going to be grievous wolves. There's wolves in sheep's clothing. They're going to come in. They're going to look good, going to talk good. But he said, I'm going to tell you, they're wolves because on the inside, they're raving. There's nothing good in here. What we do, remember, and I shared this, what we do it as unto him because he empowers us and he gives us the ability to do it. But there are those who are going to come to him and say, but Jesus, but Lord, I did this in your name and I did that in your name. Well, you just got it right there. I did this and I did that. You better have the right eye. The life I now live. It's what we offer up to God. It must be true substance. And it can only be Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not you trying to do it and be the good old Joe because you did good works. Good people don't mean they're going to heaven. There's none good, no, not one. There's only one. And Jesus, why do you call me good? But then they don't even want to hear the truth. They don't want to walk in it. They don't listen to him. These grieving wolves are going to come in among you, not sparing the flock. And it means I don't care what age they are. Don't you think he's not so stupid? He's going to try to get the little lambs. He's going to come in and get the teenagers. He's going to start when they're young. Why? Because he knows that God said, train them up while they're young. Teach them when you're a child. You are responsible. If you have children, you're responsible unto God to raise them up under the admonition of the Lord. Give them truth. They may not want to hear it either. You ever had a rebellious child? I don't want to hear it. Oh, forget it. You say that all the time. Well, apparently we have to keep saying it because that's what he does with me. He keeps saying it to me all the time because I haven't changed yet. That was in our class. They were taking this money to Jerusalem and it took them a year. Those poor people had to wait a whole year to get that money. What is it I've called you to do? What is it that I've asked you out of love? To surrender that to me. How long will it be before you minister to the poor? Also of your own selves shall men arise. They're going to speak perverse things about you. They're going to say bad things about you. And draw away disciples after them. They'll get people who are learners. You come my way. We have programs. We have fun things. We have any toy you can think of for the kids to play with at church. It's not in the Word of God. God said, give him, feed him his word. That's what we come here for, to learn Jesus and what he's done for us. It's not programs won't do it. Only when it's centered around Jesus himself. But we have it right here. Here's the book right here. To know the letters that Paul wrote to the churches, how we should walk, how we should talk. Oh, man, if you go in here and the Holy Spirit tells you, okay, go in, we're going to have a message today, Penny, I'm going to teach you something about being a busybody and gossiping. How many want to hear that? If you just gossiped about somebody. I mean, do we like that? No, but it's needed. That's what you have need of. Because a shepherd is leading and guiding his sheep. Don't condemn yourself. I've done it too. But it's not right. That's why we have the wisdom of the Lord, and he trains us and teaches us. You see, he counsels you how to walk in this dark world. If it was up to one of you, just one of you, where you go, your tithe, attendance, coming to church for attitude right. Always remember, it's got to be the attitude, right? How would the church be doing today? Would the church be prospering? Would you be sharing things with them? You know, when I really took a look at that, I was like, oh. He said, I kept back nothing. He wanted to give his whole heart to God. That way, he's without blame. They can say whatever they want to say. But he's without blame. He said, I shun not to hold back anything. And it costs me dearly for having to speak truth. Sometimes we hold back because there are so many reasons in the flesh that we don't want to be honest and true and give out truth. I mean, there really can be. But we have to preach the truth. He said they're not going to spare the flock. They're going to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, he's been saying this to these elders all along. Therefore, I want you to watch. Notice he didn't say, I want you to sleep. We found out what happens when you sleep. Watch. Remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I shared it. I gave it. That's all I'm responsible for. God brings the increase. What happens if I go, no, Lord, I'm not going to say that. You know, a man was dying on his deathbed, and they were Catholics. And it kept coming to me to go over and say John 3:16 to him and ask him if he had ever given his heart to Jesus. And I can't do that. These people they're going to come in the room and see me doing it. Fear. No, God said do it. If he opens the door, he'll give the grace for it. You know what they did? They had a little meeting outside the door with the doctor. There was my opening. You going to get out of that chair yet? And I went over and I said, he was a police officer and he was passing. He couldn't do anything. And it was because of brain injury. But I told him, I said, I just want to know if you've ever asked Jesus to come in your heart. And explained just in simplicity the gospel. Jesus loves you. He told me to come talk to you. I hope you can hear him. It's not me. And I went and I sat down and came back to church. Gene Hawkins was preaching that Sunday morning. He said, I don't care what it is God tells you to do. If he said, go to somebody and say, John 3:16, yield to it. You don't know what God wants to do. And I was jumping for joy in my spirit, rejoicing in the Lord that thank you, God, you didn't let me just sit there. I believe I'm going to see him in glory. I believe that to this day. You watch and you remember, I warned you. And now, brethren, and I love this, how could Paul give these words? He had already experienced them. Now, brethren, I commend you to God. Remember, they're not going to see his face anymore. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. You see, to God, to the word of his grace. Why? Which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Among all them that are sanctified. You see, God is working a work. He wants us to know. And Paul told him, I didn't covet anything you had. I didn't try to take your money. I didn't come in here doing that. I just preached the word. I showed you all things, how that laboring you ought to support the weak. Not those that are strong, the weak. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And if you've never tried that, and it's not even, I don't even know how to explain it, except for my words would be, it is glory just to walk with him. You're walking at your job, and he says, clean up the water off the floor. Did you do it? Because that's him. You walk by and you checked on the residents, make sure they're in bed. They have their blankets up. Did you do it? It's him. You're walking with him. It is glory just to watch him care for the sheep, care for the elderly, care for the sick, care for the ones that they're not walking the way they should. But don't condemn. That's his seat. It's his seat. We're usurping authority. He wants to do these things. That's where, when you let God do it all, you let vengeance be in the hands of God. You let God do the judging. Yeah, you have to try the spirit and know whether it be of God. But I want to tell you, that's such a restful place to be. You're resting. You're resting in what he promised he would do to you, for you. And when he does, believe him. I had to believe him that Jesus died on the cross. So what did I do? Well, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. But I don't think I have to let him in my heart. Yes, you do. You have to ask him, Jesus, come in my heart. I want you to live in here. I want you to reside. Then you'll hear pastors going, continue in the gospel. It starts, but you got to continue to the end of your race. End of your race. We're not done. We're not finished in practicality yet, or you wouldn't be here. You would already be gone. He's finished the work in you. That's the practical.